Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, Monday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I hope all of you had fantastic weekends. I did. NFL playoffs are set. We got the national championship game between Alabama and Georgia tonight. It's football heaven for those of us out there who love football. It's also, Buck Sexton, the dark ages for the Biden COVID regime. Everything, it feels like, is falling apart for them as it pertains to the overall narrative of Joe Biden's entire 2020 presidential campaign. He said, I'm going to shut down the virus. I'm not going to shut down the economy. And the virus is surging. And it feels like, to me, Buck, and I'm curious if you got this sense too, ever since the Supreme Court arguments on Friday, which we talked a lot about over the COVID vaccine mandate, that Biden has lost control finally of the narrative. We got a couple of clips of Rochelle Walensky, the CDC director, that I'm going to get to in a moment. But Buck, you're in New York City, the place with basically the highest COVID rate of infection once more, 2 years later, effectively, after March of 2020. What is the vibe on the ground? And do you also have the sense that I do coming out of this weekend that basically the Biden White House has just finally lost control of the COVID narrative that they're trying to sell to the American public?
The narrative is in free fall. To say it's collapsing is one thing. I think it's actually going in the other direction, too. It's not just that people are ceasing to believe a lot of what the established consensus storyline is. They're saying, they're starting to finally, and I think this is a good thing, say, wait a second, how long have they been wrong about this? Why should we trust this narrative going forward? Why should the apparatus have so much control over our lives? Clay, it was just bombshell after bombshell the last few days with what's being said. Because first of all, let's just all take a step back. We've had this enormous fight over mandates, and in New York City, they implemented it. The federal government, just to remind everybody, is supposed to start, I believe today, the initial phase, although it's really a phased in process, of the OSHA mandate, right? That's why we had the Supreme Court oral arguments, and this is why there's the urgency of whether there'd be a stay. So you're in the phase now where technically the federal government is supposed to be forcing these shots into people's arms, or they can get a test every week and be harassed forever and be masked up and, you know, or get fired, right? That's where we are. Clay, up to 40% of COVID patients, according to Rochelle Walensky and the CDC, in the hospital may be there for other reasons. I mean, I know you have this audio, but the numbers now are telling us what we've been saying all along, which is COVID is dangerous to a small percentage of the overall U.S. population. The vaccines do not stop the spread. They've had to admit that. I mean, that's obvious now. They do not stop the spread. And they might be dramatically overcounting, the CDC might be dramatically overcounting hospitalizations and deaths.
Yes. And we're going to play a couple of these clips for you. I also, there's a great editorial I shared it, and we're going to talk about this too, because I think it ties in to this overall crumbling foundation of the Biden COVID narrative. On the opinion page of the Wall Street Journal, Omicron makes Biden's mandates obsolete. If you want to do a little reading during a commercial break here in a little bit, we're going to talk about that piece, which is written, by the way, by a Nobel Prize winning physician. So it's kind of a significant person to be writing that story. But first, Rochelle Walensky, it seems to me, to some extent, has been deputized as the official sudden truth teller. Now, she's not sharing data that you and I, Buck, haven't been talking about for a long time. But what's landing here is this data is blowing people away. And it's also making people realize, stop and say, wait a minute, why have we not known about this before? And what else are they not telling us? Now, there are a couple of different clips that I want to play here. Friday, Rochelle Walensky went on Good Morning America, and she said that what we've talked about for a long time, that the people who are dying with COVID have four or more comorbidities often. Listen to cut three of Rochelle Walensky, CDC director, Friday on Good Morning America.
The overwhelming number of deaths, over 75%, occurred in people who had at least four comorbidities. So really, these are people who were unwell to begin with.
Okay, so this is what we've been saying. If you are not well, if you have a high level of obesity, you are under particular risk from COVID. This has been data that the CDC has been unwilling to share with the American public on shows like Good Morning America, with people like Rochelle Walensky sharing it. So if you missed that, over 75%, she said, of deaths are occurring in people with at least four comorbidities, and these people are not well, she is saying. Okay. Now, also, she went on Sunday with Bret Baier on Fox News Sunday, and she was asked directly, what percentage of the people that are counted as COVID deaths died from COVID, not with COVID? Listen
to
this answer.
Yes, of course, with Omicron, we're following that very carefully. Our death registry, of course, takes a few weeks to collect. And of course, Omicron has just been with us for a few weeks, but those data will be forthcoming.
All right. So really the question there is an important part from Bret Baier, too, because he says directly, Buck, hey, there's 835,000 deaths that are attributed to COVID. How many of those are deaths with COVID? That is, people have many different comorbidities. In other words, if you're in hospice, and as often unfortunately occurs in hospice, you die not with any one particular cause. You might have pneumonia, you might have the flu, you might also have COVID. You have many different illnesses oftentimes that are occurring simultaneously, but you are on your way to death otherwise. That would be counted as a COVID death, or memorably, as has sometimes happened, if you come in to the hospital after getting hit by a bus and you test right. positive for COVID, you are COVID death.
Okay, so how could we have had anything even approaching a rational and reasonable policy discussion, Clay, when the CDC is effectively telling us the numbers? And remember, the numbers are what they use to justify everything. There was a time when New York City was shutting down schools because of the positivity rate of COVID tests, which makes zero sense, right? I mean, it's how many people are taking tests? Are asymptomatic people taking tests? Are people, they have had the numbers game being played this whole time. And now when they say things like 75% of COVID deaths are those who are essentially at high risk of dying from the flu, any number of upper respiratory people with four comorbidities. I mean, that's statistically someone who is at risk from just day-to-day life. We're all going there, by the way. We're all going to be at that point. But when I hear her say that, I have to think about all the lives. Because remember, they also tell us everybody who is dying, almost everybody, I should say, who is dying in the hospital is unvaccinated. I find that the most recent data on that was pretty stunning. It's like 0.003% of those dying are vaccinated. So they're saying everyone in the hospital in the U.S. who's dying is on. I know. I find that. I find that not, but the CDC is saying it. But just take that for a moment and pause and just think about what that means. Think of all the lives that could have been saved if we had gotten 99.9% of those truly at risk vaccinated, instead of firing 35-year-old nurses with natural immunity and trying to force everyone's 10-year-old to get the shot. Think of the dispersal of resources, the lack of trust, the authoritarian overreach that has been created by trying to do this, and not just mass vaccination, mass booster campaign now for everybody. People looking around saying, who are the morons in charge that think this is actually working?
Well, and what this represents to me, Buck, is the internal polling in the White House on COVID must be a disaster right now for Joe Biden. Because the first thing I say is, okay, they're going to now start sharing data that, frankly, when you and I would share it on social media, what would we get told? Oh, you're trying to kill grandmas. You would sometimes be told, hey, you can't share this. It appears to me that big tech, and I'm curious if you buy into this, it seems like big tech has stopped restricting the spread in many ways of critical commentary surrounding COVID all of a sudden.
I just got hit.
You
my
got
Facebook
dinged?
Account, I got dinged the last 24 hours for something I said on this show, which we then shared at facebook.com/Buck Sexton. So we're now fighting with them.
As an untruth, they said, like, this is
independent fact checkers. I have run circles, as have you, around these independent fact checkers for months when you look at what is actually true. Who ends up being right versus who is going along with the narrative at the time? Journalism, big tech, my friends, they have betrayed not only their professions, but this country over the course of the pandemic by refusing to stand for truth, refusing to make sure there's accountability for the abomination of a CDC, which is, at this point, they're the worst three-letter agency in the federal government, which is an astonishing accomplishment.
And the people who are doing these fact checks, well, that's interesting that you just got dinged, because what I have noticed is it seems like there now is a willingness to have a debate about what's going on surrounding the COVID vaccine. And I continue to say COVID vaccine in question and in quotation marks, because the question that I asked Buck that got everybody riled up last week on Twitter was just this: name me any other vaccine in quotation marks that you have to get three or four shots in a year and it doesn't prevent you from getting or spreading the virus. I've never heard of that happening.
This is the crappiest vaccine anybody's ever heard of. I mean, no one's ever been sitting around saying, yeah, you know, get the MMR vaccines and maybe get them four times a year for the rest of your life. And maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. Doesn't stop the spread. Of course, this is not what we thought of when we, and this is not what they told us, to be very clear.
Yes.
They said 95% protection. You don't get it. You don't spread it. But Clay, to your point about social media, what I think we're seeing is that it's more apparent now that there are some people who are allowed to say what you and I say. And so that's okay now, but are you and I allowed to say it, right? Can I say that the vaccines don't stop the spread? I might get dinged. I might get shut down. But Rochelle Walensky can go and say it, right? It's about who can say what, which just goes to show you this is all about power dynamics and has been all along.
And politics. And the politics, I think, on this are disastrous now for Joe Biden. And I think they are trying to figure out, they're in a tough spot, right? Because they used COVID to keep Donald Trump from getting reelected in 2020. All of the death counters, which miraculously have disappeared, even though the deaths are continuing to go up. All of the nuance surrounding these numbers. Wait a minute. What's the difference between a COVID death with COVID versus COVID because a death because of COVID? These were conversations that were not allowed to happen. And now as they look ahead to the red wave that is coming in 2022 to this midterm, as every single day, Buck, more and more people, my phone, I don't know about you, but there are friends of mine that I will hear from pretty regularly who may have been critical of some of my COVID comments earlier. And they're like, man, I'm starting to look at the data and a lot of what you've been saying is true. Yeah, it's not like I'm pretending to be a Nobel Prize winning scientist. I'm just looking at the data and using it to inform my opinions, which is what all intelligent people should do.
And there are Nobel Prize winning scientists who kind of say what we've been saying here in the Clay and Buck Show. I'm just gonna put it out a little bit of what the Clay and Buck Show has been recently. You know, you don't just vote every November. You vote every single month with the money you spend and the companies you choose to spend it with. Consider your current cell phone provider and the bill you're paying this month. Your money supports the candidates and issues that they donate to. Do you know who they are? Let me give you a hint. You might be frustrated to see the support for leftist politicians pushing liberal agendas. But there's a solution, Pure Talk. Get your cell phone service from Pure Talk. They use the exact same towers, accessing the exact same 5G network as one of those companies. With Pure Talk, you have the peace of mind that you're supporting a veteran-run business with employees all here in the United States. Clay and I are proud to be customers for that reason, too. And Clay, this is a monthly bill you can be proud to pay.
No doubt. It's likely to be half of what your current cell phone bill is. That means you're likely to save $50 or $60 or more each month. So how do you get yourself hooked up? From your cell phone right now, grab them in your hands, dial #250, say Pure Talk, and you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. Dial #250, say Pure Talk today.
Our vaccines are working exceptionally well. They continue to work well for Delta with regard to severe illness and death. They prevent it. But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission.
That was back in, what was that now? That was back in August, I believe, right?
Yeah. Yes.
August 5th, Rochelle Walensky. Welcome back to Clay and Buck Show. The vaccines can't prevent transmission. So they've known that. Then what was the basis for the mandate exactly? Because they were also telling us, remember Biden, it's your patriotic duty. And, you know, that's when he is awake enough to read off the prompter. and you say, hold on a second, why is it a duty to protect others if it doesn't actually protect others? And now are we really going to accept the pretense? There's two other arguments they're trying now. This is what always happens. They're wrong, and then all of a sudden they change the basis for their wrongness, right? They say, the Fauciites will say, okay, well, it's really about making sure that you are protected. This is for your own good. Well, hold on a second. There are a lot of people for whom the vaccine, especially if they have natural immunity, their own good ain't good enough. If you're 35 years old and really, and in any kind of shape, honestly, unless you're severely ill, you may decide you don't want to do it. So that rationale is breaking down. The other rationale, Clay, that they're trotting out here is, the unvaccinated fill up the hospitals and prevent people from being able to get cardiac care. Let's just look at this rationally for a second. A year ago, there were basically no vaccines. Okay. No vaccines, and people were getting sick at unprecedented levels with a much more dangerous virus. We didn't have hospitals unable to provide. The overrunning of the hospitals thing has never, hospitals have been stretched. They've had to expand, but they've had to do that for a long time for bad flu seasons, other things too. I just feel like their arguments now don't add up. And I'm not the only one. There's a guy in the Wall Street Journal on the mandates who's a Nobel Prize winner who's saying, yeah, this is just all nonsense now.
Yeah, and he makes a really strong case. In fact, I'm going to unpack this a little bit more because you and I were so disgusted. I would say I was particularly disgusted by the untruths that peppered the oral arguments surrounding the Biden vaccine mandate discussion in the Supreme Court. In particular, when Justice Sonia Sotomayor said we have, and I'm reading a direct quote from her, over 100,000 children in serious condition, many on ventilators. I bet there's not 100 kids on ventilators in this country right now. There are only 3,500 kids that are hospitalized with COVID right now in the country, period. And Buck, as we know, a vast majority of those kids, based on data, are likely to be hospitalized with COVID, meaning they're in the hospital with something else and they have tested positive for COVID. So all of this madness. And then, as we talked about too, Justice Stephen Breyer seemed to believe that if people would just get vaccinated, the 750,000 new cases that are happening every day would cease to exist. It's a level of misapprehension and fundamental dishonesty if they know that what they're saying is untrue. It's so scary to me that the Supreme Court justices could be this poorly informed.
As an institution, people lost faith in the intellectual level of some of the Supreme Court justices that are making these decisions after their COVID arguments. That's what really happened there, folks. They're not well informed enough to even be engaged in a debate, never mind to be engaged in what is effectively the making of law on this issue. We'll come back to this, though, and Clay's got the Wall Street Journal piece in a moment. On 9/11, 20 years ago, 2,977 people were killed in terrorist attacks on American soil. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's heroes and their families ever since. When a first responder or a military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For severely injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes put their lives on the line for our country. They need your help. Help these heroes and their families. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. Donate $11 a month right now. That's $11 a month at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. And I got to give credit, Buck, the two pages that I'm most interested in seeing every single day are the Wall Street Journal editorial pages. They are by far the most honest, the most interesting, the most thought-provoking, and the most fact-based and fearless, I would say, of any newspaper pages in the media. And I'm old school in the sense that I still read the actual physical newspaper. So I turned to it this morning, Buck, when the Wall Street Journal got to the house, and I read this piece, and I might mangle these names. Luc Montagnier, that's the French pronunciation. Montagner, if you're a Southern guy. I have no idea how exactly to pronounce it. And Jed Rubenfeld wrote a headline here, Omicron makes Biden's mandates obsolete. And Buck, the entire argument here is effectively, there is, and this is a emboldened part of their piece, there is no evidence so far that vaccines are reducing infections from the fast-spreading Omicron variant. And they argue that as a result, there is no scientific basis whatsoever for OSHA's vaccine mandate. And they close their piece by saying, neither Health and Human Services nor OSHA ever considered Omicron or said a word about vaccine efficacy against it for the simple reason that it hadn't yet been discovered. In these circumstances, longstanding legal principles require the justices to stay the mandates and send them back to the agencies for a fresh look, which is an interesting argument, which I hadn't even thought about, was well said by these guys in this article, because at the time of the Biden COVID vaccine mandate, Omicron didn't exist. And so they need to reconsider the science behind their argument. And so the Supreme Court could just send this back to HHS and say, to HHS and OSHA and say, you have to redo this entire vaccine mandate because the science upon which you relied has changed. It's a little bit of a way to dodge having to make a big decision about executive authority.
Right. This is a moment in time where any reasonable, rational decision-making body, the Supreme Court, OSHA itself, oh, I don't know, the Biden regime, the mouthpieces at the CDC, you know, where's little Fauci? I haven't seen him in 5 minutes. You know, I don't know what's going on. It's been 5 minutes without him on my TV screen. And you say, hold on a second. Someone explain to me how this makes any sense in given the reality that the underlying justification for this, they took it out of individual hands. Your rights, your freedom as a person to not have something injected into you or else you would face serious consequences. I mean, in New York City, you're effectively locked in your home unless you get the shot. It's horrible what they've done to people here, okay? That was all based on the, oh, I can't be near you because you're going to get me sick. Well, now we know, unless you're going to avoid all human contact, you might actually get exposed to COVID, vaccinated or unvaccinated. And they can't even distinguish between the two in terms of infection likelihood anymore or viral spread, unless I'm missing something, unless there's some data I don't know about. They did do recent studies to show that those who are vaccinated versus unvaccinated who do get infected have about the same level of virus in their nasopharynx, right? So in terms of initial infection, maybe for the first 60 days, Clay, you're more protected. The first 90 days, you're more protected. But after that, you're not. So what's really the justification here for making people not get, or making people get the shot? They're just coming up with it on the fly.
This is maybe the most blockbuster part of the entire article here that I'm reading from the Wall Street Journal. For those of you out there, I shared this on Twitter. Encourage you to go read the article for yourself. Again, one of the writers here, Dr. Montagnier, what I'm going to pronounce his name like
Montagnier?
Eight different ways now.
Go, just lean into the French. Montagnier?
He was a winner of the 2008 Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine for discovering HIV. So this guy's kind of a big deal. Nobel Prize winner. All right, listen to this paragraph, Buck, because this is a jaw-dropping paragraph, and I think we're going to talk some with Alex Berenson about this tomorrow in the third hour of the program for those of you out there who want to hear this discussion. But here's what they say. The little data we have suggests the opposite in terms of Omicron protecting vaccinated people. One preprint study found that after 30 days, the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines no longer had any statistically significant positive effect against Omicron infection. Just 30 days, but listen to this. And after 90 days, their effect went negative. That is, vaccinated people were more susceptible to Omicron infection. Confirming this negative efficacy finding, data from Denmark and the Canadian province of Ontario indicate vaccinated people have higher rates of Omicron infection than unvaccinated people. Buck, if this paragraph that I'm reading from in the Wall Street Journal is correct, not only is there not now, as Joe Biden has been saying for months, a pandemic of the unvaccinated, what we actually have in this country, Buck, based on this paragraph and these studies, would be a pandemic of the vaccinated.
It's
earth-shattering.
I guarantee that if Clay or I or any of our brothers and sisters in the conservative movement took those exact words, and forget about attribution and plagiarism for a second, okay, just for the purpose of the analogy or for the story here, took those exact words, put them onto our Facebook page or put them onto Twitter, a very high likelihood that you would be get a strike, you'd be suspended, and maybe permanently suspended for taking the words of a Nobel Prize winner in science on what's happening right now based on the data. So can we all understand the people that are telling you it's the science are cowards, they're liars, and they don't know what the heck they're talking about? That corporate media in general, aligned with the Democrats, has failed to even do the most basic due diligence on Fauciism. They've been at every stage of this pandemic pretending to have the answer, Clay, based upon things that they clearly could not really know. But they said, we're 100% sure. I mean, at what point is I'm 100% sure and then I'm actually wrong because I wasn't sure, the same thing as a lie, right? To say that we know these vaccines work so well and will stop transmission and will stop infection, and to find out catastrophically how much that's not true. Well, it's not like they said, we think. They said, we know, and you must get the shot based on us knowing, and they didn't, and they were wrong. And there needs to be accountability for that, because otherwise, how can we trust what they say going forward? Why should anyone listen to the next Fauci pronouncement? Oh, I'm sure you'll see him walking around in three masks in a matter of weeks now, because he takes the virus seriously. By the way, does AOC take the virus seriously? Because she just got infected.
It's not going to take long. It's not going to take long till AOC blames DeSantis for her COVID infection. By the way, her COVID infection post double vaccine, post booster. Holiday gift giving season. By the way, she's also going to be fine. Maybe the virus was just supremely attracted to her because she's so good looking, right? Maybe that's the big takeaway here. This holiday gift giving season is behind us. Now keeping all those internet connected presents safe from cyber thieves should become top of your mind. Some steps you can take to protect computers, phones, smartwatches, and more from attacks include turning off device listening, updating software often, applying two-factor authentication, using complex passwords, and enabling lock screens. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day we put our information at risk on the internet. In an instant, a cyber criminal could steal what's yours, sometimes even harm your finances, your credit, your reputation. Good thing there's LifeLock. Buck, how can you get hooked up with LifeLock today?
Look, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you got to take this critical step here to protect what's yours with LifeLock by Norton. I have it. I've gotten alerts in the past. I've been a LifeLock by Norton customer for years now. And I've had identity theft issues. I've had people use my credit cards. I've had people try to mess with things in my name. Join LifeLock now. They shut that stuff down. Save 25% off your first year by using promo code BUCK at LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. That's LifeLock.com and use promo code BUCK for 25% off.
What the Republicans are doing across the country is really a legislative continuation of what they did on January 6th, which is to undermine our democracy, to undermine the integrity of our elections, undermine the voting power, which is the essence of a democracy.
Welcome back to Clay and Buck Show. Just wanted to hear that. Have a little laugh. Nancy Pelosi is now deploying the tactic that you will see. They've been doing it for a while, but you'll see all this year. They got nothing. Biden's a joke. They didn't defeat COVID. In fact, COVID is defeating Biden's plans, as we see every day here, mandates and the government overreach that's come along with all of it. And Nancy Pelosi is saying that essentially when Republicans don't go along and do what Democrats want, it's all the insurrection. This is not going to work very well, but it is pathetic, and it is also a sign of what a weak Biden regime this really is. No accomplishments to speak of, nothing. I mean, Clay, if I, you are a loquacious and well-equipped fellow to make any number of arguments. If I said the best thing Biden has accomplished this year or this administration with Democrat control of Congress, I mean, I don't really have, do you have, I don't have anything. Do you have something?
It's honestly hard to come up with anything. If I were trying to spin for him at this point, I would, I mean, I had one. I feel like we had this conversation like 6 months ago and I was able to come up with something, but I feel like 6 months ago, you could at least argue based on the data, well, COVID has gotten better. The vaccines have helped to tamp down the overall COVID situation, but I can't even think. The only thing I can think of, honestly, is he's maintained a lot of the policies of Trump against China.
I thought you might go there. The smartest things that he has done are the continuation of decisions made by his predecessor.
That's the only thing I think you can argue. I mean, and, you know, it seems like he's going back to stay in Mexico, the policy that Trump had put in place, you know, and so the border's been obviously a disaster. But all I could point to is he hasn't been as weak on China as I was afraid he was going to be. And mostly he's kept in place the Trump-China policies so far. That's the only thing I could say in a positive way.
Yes. Rob in Cleveland, Ohio. I want to take some of your calls. So let us know what's up. 800-282-2882. What's up, Rob?
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call. I love you guys and appreciate all that you're doing for us. So I had a thought as we've been thinking about and seeing the evidence come out about the limitations of the COVID shot or the vaccine. And I'm wondering if it's leaving open an opportunity for the left and the liberals to spin it in such a way against, you know, President Trump and against Operation Warp Speed. And thinking back to, you know, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden's, you know, comments, you know, during the campaign about not trusting the vaccine. Do you see this as maybe leaving a door open for them to spin it?
Rob, I'll tell you, thank you for calling in from Cleveland. I'll tell you my thoughts and Clay would tell you his on this one. I will say I don't see that as likely. Now you're asking for kind of a prediction here. I don't think that the narrative will become Trump's Operation Warp Speed was the failure because the Democrats so wholeheartedly co-opted and then deployed and acted like they had perfected Warp Speed. And, you know, the distribution, remember when the distribution of the vaccine was the big challenge and the Biden people were saying, oh, we're so much better. Oh, yeah, that's right. The logistics chain folks in the Biden regime were telling you in the very beginning that they were so much better at this. Think about that for a second when you go to the grocery store and it's like no milk on the shelves near you. But Clay, I don't see it. Do you think that's their next maneuver here? I don't see that as likely, but it, I mean, who knows?
I think one way you can think it's an interesting call, and I've continued to hammer this drum because I think it represents fundamental bias. Imagine if Trump were still president and COVID was similar to what it is today, which I think it would be, because I think the thing we have learned is politicians are not going to solve COVID or shut it down, despite what Biden claimed in 2020. Yet the media, to a large extent, is giving Biden a pass on COVID, whereas they tried to hang every single COVID death around Donald Trump's neck and blame him for everything COVID related. I mean, it's not a coincidence that Joe Biden ends up in office and the COVID death tracker at MSNBC and CNN eventually disappears. What I do think is likely to happen is there will be a concerted effort to try and make it not Joe Biden's fault. And I think rather than blame Trump, the new pivot is, well, there's nothing we could have done. This is a once in 100 years pandemic. And so Joe Biden has done the best job that he could have, which they never would have said about Trump. And I do think it's worth pointing out that there is, at least so far, I think very likely protection. And this is why, again, Buck and I continue to say this. If I were a senior citizen, I would go get every COVID shot I could, and I would get the booster. And if I was morbidly obese or even just significantly obese, I would go get the COVID shots because the data reflects that the elderly and the obese are particularly susceptible to this disease, and I think those shots can help as much as possible.
Just, we keep reiterating this. Clay's parents, vaccinated and boosted. My parents, vaccinated and boosted.
That's right.
Judge people at some level by their actions first and foremost, right? So vaccinated and boosted because they're in that age category, and there are some comorbidities to take into account. All right, we've also got an interesting call here from Casey in Elk Grove, California. Casey, what's going on?
I see a slew of wrongful termination lawsuits coming because the reason for firing all these people is no longer valid.
Interesting. Clay, what do you think?
Well, I'm not, first of all, an expert in every state's labor and employment law wrongful termination lawsuits, but I do think it's significant. Less likely than those lawsuits, I think, Buck, is what we're seeing now. They are now bringing back COVID positive nurses. Again, let me repeat this. COVID positive nurses are being brought back because there is such a lack of nursing capability because so many people are testing positive for Omicron and because they fired people. I think what's more likely is a lot of businesses are going to say, if you were good at your job before and you left over vaccine mandates, I think a lot of businesses are going to be, given difficulties of hiring, reaching back out to some of those people and saying, if the Supreme Court puts a stay in place and or strikes down this vaccine mandate, I think you'll see a rapid response to bring back those people, not needing as many lawsuits as a result.
But the real monster here, folks, the many-headed hydra that led to the terminations of people from their jobs, was government policy. Just remember that. It was the government under this Biden regime that kicked in and said, you get the shot or you get fired, because they made it impossible for businesses to continue operations. They were going to fine them. They were going to harass them. And in places like New York, there's no choice at all. It wasn't even a function of whether you wanted testing or something else. Speaking of New York, is this place doomed? We got a new mayor. We've got some big things that happened the last few days. I'll give you the straight scoop on what's happening here. We'll talk about some other things, too, across the country. Stick around.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.